certainly thankful to see those who have returned this afternoon to offer worship to God. We hope that we will be able to glorify He and His Son in all we say and do today. And hope I keep you awake. I know after eating lunch, Lord, maybe it's kind of hard to stay awake. I'm sleepy right now. In fact, I didn't sleep very good last night, for that matter. But never been known to go to sleep in the pulpit, so maybe that's a consolation. I might about to go to sleep when I'm doing the pew, but never have done so in the pulpit. I want to speak to you today on a subject we hope will be encouraging to you. We simply call this lesson through faith. I find that's an expression used several times, particularly in the New Testament, the expression through faith. I think that's significant, and perhaps you'll be able to understand why as we go through the lesson this afternoon. We read in Acts chapter 3. Seems like this thing's just a little bit loud, but anyway.
Big button on the far right.
Big button on the far right. Okay.
Wrong way.
There we go. I'd like to read with you, if you would care to follow along with me. I'll be reading Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 16. Actually, I'm reading the New King James Version. This is a beautiful reading. This event that we're going to be reading about took place shortly after the establishment of the Lord's church, where the apostles were doing various and sundry miracles. And this is a very notable miracle and one of really a great consequence. I'll read Acts, the third chapter, beginning verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Of course, that'd be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the way we reckon time. And a certain man, lame from his womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why he says, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this?" And so when Peter saw it, he really was being men of Israel, "Why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power, our goodness, godliness rather, we have helped this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Judge, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. But you verse 15, "and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And in his name, through faith in his name," there's an expression the first time we notice it, "through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness and presence of you all." I really understand the faith to have been through Peter, who was doing the miracle. The lame man apparently didn't even really know who Peter and John were, at least you get that impression of reading the text. He was simply there begging alms, asking for a handout, if you will. He'd been in that condition from all of his life. Everybody knew who he was. He laid there at the beautiful gate of the temple, begging alms day in and day out. And that was his a very blessed day for him, because he didn't have an encounter with two apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter rightly told him, we don't have any silver and gold, but since I have, I give you. What a wonderful thing it was that he gave you. And it has been shown, and I believe correctly so, that the faith really wasn't on the part of the lame man, but the faith was really on the part of the apostle Peter, who performed the miracle, but perhaps also John. And I'm told that it's pretty well understood that even though they were endowed with these miraculous powers, it required faith on their part to do these miracles. So it was through faith that this was accomplished. And besides that, Peter really wanted to give God the glory for this thing. He wasn't trying to do it for his own glory, but he was trying to have the people see that it was through the power of Jesus Christ that this was so, and through faith. And of course, as you might expect, he seized upon the opportunity, having performed this great miracle, to glorify Jesus and to condemn these people in their sins for having killed the Prince of Life. What great power through faith Peter showed when he healed this lame man who was lame from his birth. And everybody knew it. It was a powerful miracle. And this was accomplished through faith. Today, you know, we live in a very powerful world in many respects. There's the power of arms, the power of wealth, the power of production, the power of learning, the power of economics, nuclear power, which we realize it has some value, but also has very negative connotations to it. But we live in a very powerful time. But I tell you, there's nothing that ever has been or will be, I guess, any more powerful than faith. Faith is a tremendous power within itself. There was the great miracles, great miraculous powers of the miracles of Jesus' apostles, but the greatest power of all really was the power of faith that is to this day. It's through faith that we're able to accomplish many of the things we accomplish. I've thought about that a lot over the years, and definitely the years of my own situation, I've accepted some, in my estimation at least, pretty tremendous challenges. I remember over 40 years ago, closer to 50 years ago really, I made a run to Amarillo, Texas with Johnny Elmore going with me, and we were going there with the intent of establishing a congregation in Amarillo, Texas. Now, I was just young and foolish. I didn't know how much I didn't know, but nonetheless, I had a lot of faith, and God blessed us, and we were able to get a church started in Amarillo. And there, I went to Mineral Wells. We got work going there, and then to Weatherford, Texas. We started a church there, and then we went on over to Cleveland, Texas. We went to Cleveland. We had a church building with one elderly lady. That's all we had in Cleveland, Texas at that time. But I knew some people close by that lived not too far away and asked them about coming down and meeting with us, and they said they would. And that's how we began the church in Cleveland, Texas back in 1985. Been a long time ago. But that church had quite a history to it. It had been a wine congregation for many years. But all that changed. We took over down there and started to work up. And the church there at Cleveland is doing pretty well. We have a pretty nice congregation at Cleveland now, I'm thankful to say. With your help, you've always been very supportive of our work. We're very grateful for that. But I think a lot of those things that we've done over the years, I attribute it to faith, because if we'd been relying on my ability, we'd be in a world of hurt, I can tell you that. But it was through faith. And it's through faith that we can accomplish things. When we realize that God works through us, that makes the difference. Little things can be much when God is in it, as we sometimes sing in our songs. So we live in an age of powerful things, but nothing so powerful as faith. In John, the first chapter, verse 12, we find, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power." I like the way that's expressed. "To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name." Now, believing was essential, but this was just the starting point. It was through this belief that he gave them power to become the sons of God. And that hasn't changed to this very day. People still, through believing in Jesus, have the power to become the children of God. And it requires faith. Without faith, you can't do any of these things. Faith is foundational to our service to the God of heaven. The faith is a channel and power. It's through faith that we know what we know about the Bible and understand and believe what we believe. Faith should never be underestimated. It is through faith that we believe the Bible account of creation. Now, we know today that there's the Big Bang Theory, or whatever that's worth. There's certainly the theory of evolution, which is not a science, it's just a theory. But then there is the account of the creation, and that's where our faith is. We believe the Bible account. Through our faith, we believe in the account of the great flood in Noah's day. We believe in the, as we read of the dividing of the Red Sea, where the Israelites crossed over on dry ground. It's through faith we accept and believe these things. They were about to enter Canaan's land, how the waters of the Jordan were parted, the peak flood stage, and they entered into Jordan, and went into the first battle there to conquer the city of Jericho. And it was by faith that those walls come tumbling down, by the way. We, it's through faith that we believe the account of the virgin birth, the miracles of Jesus, the resurrection, and the great ascension. And so all these things are really, from our perspective, through faith. We weren't there, but we believe it. We read it, and we believe it. And, of course, faith is essential to our Christian experience, to our Christian lives. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3, it tells us now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, there it is, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So again, it's all together through faith. Now, a lot of folks scoff at this. I deal with people like that quite a bit. I have over the last several months especially. They just scoff at the Bible. Yeah, they don't have the faith that you and I have. But it's through faith that we accept the Bible's revelation of these great historical events. And we believe the Bible. And, of course, as we'll emphasize in other places this lesson, faith comes through hearing the Word of God. The Word of God has the power of producing faith in our hearts if we'll give it a fair hearing. And so it's through faith that we understand these things. The Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 3 through 7, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walk toward their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were, both from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world then was and existed, perished, being threatened with water. But the heavens and earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So what a unique declaration this is. The word of God was there at the creation of the heavens and the earth and the planetary bodies and all those things. And today, this earth continues to rotate up on its axis, actually preserved by the word of God. Now, a lot of folks would just laugh you to scorn if you suggested that. But we as Christians believe that. We believe it's God's word and its sustaining power that keeps things continuing as they are today. And at God's appointed time, he will declare the time is no more. And this old world will come to an end. But it's through God's word that things continue as they are. And you know, it's without faith, life really has no purpose. Life takes on such a different perspective of when we really have faith. Life is empty and void without faith. A lot of people realize there's things that there's something missing in their lives, but somehow they never know quite what it is. But of course, I think we think most of us tell them what it is. It's because they don't have faith in a creator. They don't have faith in the God of heaven like we have. That's what's missing in their lives. But without faith, they really haven't. Life really has no purpose. In Romans, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul writing the Romans of his day, he says that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So, while revelation is extremely important to our faith, and that's a major portion of our faith, he says these people who deny God are still without excuse because what is clearly seen is made known to them. We can look at, about us and see God in everything. I had that, Boy and I were talking about that today. I had the good privilege of going to Alaska last summer, which has been a long time dream of mine. And I saw a beautiful part of God's creation. I looked at all the magnificent scenery and things that I observed there, and I thought to myself, how can anybody see all of this and not believe that there's a creator, that there's a God who actually created all these things, an intelligent being? And that's where our faith is. We believe in God's creative powers. It reminds me when I read this passage from Romans, harkening back to the Psalms, where it said in the Psalms, Psalms chapter 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Just peer up into the starry vista at night and see all the innumerable stars all across the canopies of heaven and the planetary bodies. And how can people look at those things and not realize there's a God? The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day under his feet, not in the night short knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them that have he set a tabernacle for the sun. So God's creation speaks of God itself. And people without excuse not believe in God. How can you see what we see in this beautiful creation and somehow doubt that there's not a creator? It's kind of like looking at this wristwatch I have on my wrist, so well, it just fell into place and started keeping perfect time. Well, this world continues to rotate on this axis day in and day out by the power and the authority of God. But so many people today do not have faith in God. A lack of faith in God, I submit to you, is a great, greatly contributes to the decline of society today. So many people do not believe in God. They do not believe in the Bible. And they really do not understand how destitute their lives are because of this this power of testimony that creation offers of itself in the presence of God. But furthermore, we are privileged to have revelation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And oh yeah, we ought to love to hear the Word of God. We ought to love to hear preaching. We ought to love to assemble in the church and hear God's Word preached and declared. We ought to love to read our Bibles, because that's when we get faith. It's based on God's Word. And so we ought to be very thankful for it. And yet, it is a little depressing to me sometimes that Christians are so lackadaisical about their church attendance, about their Bible study, and they don't immerse themselves in the study of God's Word that their faith might be strengthened. And we can have our faith strengthened. It's, of course, through faith that we are saved, by the way. In Ephesians 2:8-9, Paul said to the Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not a work lest any man should boast." It's not by any number of meritorious works we might do that we achieve our salvation. You cannot do enough good works to earn your salvation. You can, as the proverbial expression is, you can't lift yourself up to heaven by your own bootstraps. It's not anything we've done, but it's through God's grace and our faith. Now, the grace is on God's part, and the faith is on our part. Some reason the faith there's the gift of God, but I don't believe that's the case. In fact, it's just as easy to apply to the word saved through faith, our salvation. Romans 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we're saved by grace through faith. But there again, we see the expression through faith. Now, one of the things about this expression is this doesn't seem to suggest just a one-time thing. I hear all the time on TV people being admonished to just receive Jesus into their hearts and pray the sinner's prayer, and that God will forgive you, and He'll accept you, and you'll be saved. But you don't read that in the Bible. You read in the Bible that you have to obey the gospel. And that's what the Bible reveals. So it's through faith. Faith is not just a one-time thing, but it's a continuous thing. Faith is a way of life. It's not just a one-time act. It's a way of life. And we have to have faith. We have to continue in the faith to have salvation. The Apostle Paul wrote to the evangelist Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." He considered Timothy very blessed in that regard. Timothy had a righteous mother and grandmother who imparted his faith to him to some extent, I think, through the teachings of the Scriptures. "That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." How? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Through faith. So Paul, or rather Timothy, was set on the course he was set on through his faith. That was the starting point. And it continued throughout his life and his ministry. Faith is continuous, not just a single act. We are to continue in the faith even unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. We are saved by faith, Ephesians 2:8, and this in no way conflicts with the terms of obedience. It would do well to think about the acts of faith and where they lead us. I've seen people over the years begin to take hold and take interest. I've had home studies over the years with people, and you begin to see the working of faith in their hearts, and begin to see by their response, by their questions, and by their observations, that faith is beginning to take place in that heart. And this faith shows itself by repentance. People begin to show an interest in making some changes in their lives. Repentance is faith that is willing. We talked a little bit about the prodigal son this morning, but repentance was evidenced by this man. It says in Jesus' parable in Luke 15, beginning in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee." So faith is repentance in action, or as repentance is faith willing, I should say. And then confession is faith speaking. Our confession is the confession that the unity made over in Acts chapter 8. But Paul talked about this faith that leads to our salvation, and it's faith speaking. In Romans 10, 8 through 10, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess thy mouth, the Lord Jesus shall believe in thy heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a man, with heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now confession is based upon a continuing faith. It's not just a one-time thing, and that's it. You can just confess your faith in Jesus Christ and go your way and do whatever you want to do after that. But you have to continue on the basis of that confession. I heard one of our younger preachers here a couple weeks ago talk with some of us about confession, and he came to the conclusion that I already had pretty well arrived at a long time ago, that confession is more than just a verbal statement, but it's a commitment. Confession is a commitment of faith. It's a little bit like, I guess, swearing in an oath as you enter the military. You know, you swear to uphold the Constitution, the laws of this land, so on, and also the legal authorities and so forth. But confession is our stance or our commitment to the Lord. And I think there's one scripture that shows that probably as good as any. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 22 and verse 23, it says, Paul wrote, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." And I believe without a doubt he's talking about baptism right there, but that's not really out of my lesson. Our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold fast the confession. The King James Version says profession, but confession is probably a better translation. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So our confession is something we have to hold on to. We have to keep it up. And so this confession is an ongoing thing that we do throughout our lives. But of course, we make that initial confession just before we're baptized. And of course, baptism is faith obeying. Acts 8, 35 through 39, Philip opened his mouth, beginning of the scripture, and preached Jesus to him. And as they went down the road, there came some water, and Eunice said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you might." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What a wonderful confession. I got to shut down, I think. I must have bumped it. But we find that he was ready to confess his faith. That was a requirement for him to be baptized. But then there was a commitment to continue in that faith. Faith continues. As Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." It amazes me how desperately people fight against baptism. It always has. I encounter this all the time with people. They try to find all kinds of ways around water baptism. And that's just, I think that really shows, first of all, a lack of their faith. Those who have faith are baptized, just like the eunuch was. And it's continuing your faith. It's faith obeying. Well, we find in Philip's case, he told him, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God." And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and he baptized him. So faith is obeying. In Colossians chapter 2, it's reiterated again by the Apostle Paul, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith, in the operation of our working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead, your trespasses and circumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. So baptism is an outgrowth of faith. It is faith obeying, and your faith is lacking if you've not done all of these things mentioned in the plan of salvation. The Christian life is faith serving. In 1 Peter 4:8-11, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are to minister to one another and to help serve one another, care for one for another. The Christian life is a faith of serving. And we serve Christ by also serving our brethren. Jesus made that abundantly clear on several occasions. And you know, it's through our faith that we are kept. Did you ever think how important faith is to keep you on the right road? It's our faith that keeps us attending every Lord's Day, coming together for worship. Every time the church house door is open to come to the assembly if we possibly can, it's our faith that brings us here. It's our faith that keeps us and keeps us on the right track. Because we believe in God, we believe in his promises. And so faith is a powerful thing to help us to hold on. Jude, his epistle said, Jude, beginning in verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. He says, keep yourselves. And so that's something we must do. We must be actively involved in our salvation. And we do that on the basis of our faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life. And then down in verse 24, the same opening, he says, none of him is able that is able to keep you from falling. And if any of you follow us before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So faith is God's tool that he has granted men to have that will help keep them going. And the trials of life and temptations and adversities befall all of us at one point or another. But we have a faith that we hold on to. And it holds on to us, you might say. It keeps us, no matter what comes, that we hold on to our faith. Faith is a powerful thing. And sometimes folks just take it for granted. But, of course, if you don't have much faith, you're kind of already in a weakened condition. We're actually made righteous by our faith, Philippians 3, verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So our righteousness of God comes to us through faith. It's through faith. And we're told in the scriptures that the righteous shall live by faith. That's the difference in God's people, people out of the world. We're people who live by faith. And so faith is a powerful source if we keep our faith in good order. We must resist Satan through our faith. In Peter's epistle, he said in 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now the devil is always looking for an opportunity to get advantage of us, and there's things that beset us, things that upset us, things that chip away at us through life. But we're to be vigilant and watchful for those things. The Bible warned us about this. And you know, if our faith is not in good order, we're very susceptible to the devil especially. You know, the devil stalks the weakest prey, I'm told. He seeks out the weakest prey, or the roaring lion seeks out the weakest prey he can find. And I believe the devil seeks out weaker Christians because that's where he can accomplish his greatest work, is to lead people away who do not have much faith to start with. It's incumbent upon us to keep our faith in good order. Our faith is a shield of protection. In Ephesians 6, verse 16, Paul said, as he described the Christian armor or the Christian soldier. I believe he was there envisioning the armor that the Roman soldiers he was familiar with commonly used in battle. And one of those elements of armor was the shield of faith. He said, our shield, Ephesians 6, verse 16, above all, take the shield of faith with which you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we need to keep our shield of faith in good order. And he says here that we are to be able to use the shield of faith. And so that's our source of protection in the battle with Satan. The Roman soldier depended on his shield that he held out in front of him in battle to deflect the fiery arrows that were heralded his direction. And so that that shield was essential to his survival in the battle. And I tell you, we need our shield. It's the shield of faith, and we need to keep it in good order. And the only way we can do that is by reading our Bibles, hearing the Bible taught as much as we possibly can, and praying, and keep our faith and our shield in good order. It'll protect us and keep us even to the end of life's way and our time to depart this world. We are indeed protected by our faith. And through faith we receive the inheritance. Peter said that to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that faileth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal in the last time. So there's a great power here, the power of God through faith unto salvation. That's the formula. He says in Hebrews, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There it is again, the expression who through faith. So this through faith is an idea that it's not novel. It's been repeated time and time again in the scriptures, and people have just, I'm afraid, just simply overlooked it. We must maintain our faith, the faith that was once delivered. Jude said, Jude verse 3, beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning the common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once for all delivered unto the saints. So we are to earnestly contend for the faith. The faith we have revealed to us in the scriptures. That's the reason we worship the way we worship, do what we do, believe what we believe. And so we need to be a people who know it and are able to contend for it, and stand for it, and practice it in our lives. How do we gain our faith? By hearing the Word of God. Through faith we have the power to become the children of God, John 1 verse 12. And we must be obedient to the faith. It never ceases to amaze me how that people say, well, you know, Jesus did it all at the cross, there's nothing left for me to do. They haven't read the Bible very closely. Now, this faith is the beginning point of doing all the things that we ought to do. In Acts 6 verse 7 it tells us, and the Word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests, these Old Testament priests, were obedient to the faith. People need to be obedient to the faith. We preach the terms of salvation, we preach the gospel, and people should be obedient to the faith. Do you believe? Nothing else really matters if there's no faith. You can't get to first base without faith, so to speak. Paul said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. We have to come to God. Understand that. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, it's through faith. And that suggests a continuation of faith. That's what the Christian life is all about. Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight. The lives we live by faith. And so I hope this is very simple. This is very fundamental, I understand, but it's something we need not overlook. Faith is a way of life. It's not a one-time event. And I hope I've got that point across the scriptures this afternoon. If you're here at accepting the gospel invitation, then we'll close the service that extended the invitation, that you might have an opportunity to obey the Lord. So if you're here and are a Christian, you can come today, believe in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing his name like we talked about here today, and being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, baptized into Christ. Or if you're a Christian who's drifted back into sin, you can come back to him, and you have the avenue of prayer and repentance and confessing your sins, and he promises to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So if we can assist you today, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.